Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm weird. Amen. Amen. I am. I'm a little weird. Because I'm the type of guy that I can't handle going the same way to work every day. It's kind of boring. Feels like a rut. I'm the type of guy that if I'm on a long flight and nothing happens, like turbulence, it's a pretty boring flight. I enjoy turbulence. They're kind of fun. It makes the flight more interesting, right? Of course, I'm the type of guy who will ride roller coasters over and over again anyways, but that's a different thing. So I kind of get stuck in these ruts, and I don't like them. It's funny, though, because in other areas of my life, I do have ruts. I have a certain thing I eat for breakfast every day, and if I diverge from that, life isn't good. It's just kind of how it is. And the reality is, at some point in our lives, we all get stuck in ruts. Sometimes they're personal ruts, and you know your personal ruts. You've got them, and they're really well-worn, and they're really well-worn ruts. You probably have the same way you take to work every day, the same routine that you do every morning to get ready for work. Whatever that is, you have your own personal ruts. In our spiritual life, we get stuck in ruts, and we'll talk about that. We get stuck in ruts in our spiritual life. Even in our church life, we get stuck in ruts. I remember as a little boy growing up in Tennessee, well, I wasn't too little at the time, my church held maybe 100 people, like the whole building would fit in this sanctuary, right? And we grew up on the best hymnal, which was the red hymnal, TLH. If anybody says I said that, I will completely deny it. But the best hymnal was TLH, the red hymnal, and it is recording, so my wife will strike that from the recording. But the best hymnal, TLH, we grew up on it. And I had every word memorized to every order of service, whether it was page 5, page 15, or page 32, which was matins. Do you remember the flipping back and forth? Oh my gosh. I can't tell you how many pages I tore out of hymnals during that service. But the rut I remember is this. As I grew older, this may have happened. I'm not going to say it's true. I started noticing the pretty girl sitting in the sanctuary. And my mouth would recite the words of the liturgy, but my mind wasn't thinking about those words. They were thinking about those pretty girls because I was in a rut. Another rut that happens often, and I've noticed this very often, is with the Lord's Prayer. I've had people to say, if we don't pray the Lord's Prayer, then it's not a real worship service. And that's a sermon we can do for another time, because when the Lord gave the Lord's Prayer, he didn't say, pray this prayer. He said, pray, what does he say? Like this. So ruts happen all over the place, and they're very common, and we can get stuck in them so easily. We humans, we're accustomed to having things go one way. We're accustomed to having our habits, and tradition, none of those things are bad. But they're bad when they become a rut, and we get stuck and can't diverge from that. The Magi were on their way to visit Jesus today when they were warned in a dream to go a different route home. The Magi were on their way to visit Jesus today when they were warned in a dream to go a different route home. In heeding the words of God, the Magi caused some very special things to happen. Here's the reality. These were men, right? We men know the best way always to go. We know the best way to go. Even if GPS says turn right 2 miles ahead, we know that's not the way to turn. There's no way that's right. It reminds me of the episode of The Office. Anybody ever watch The Office? And what was his name, the manager, Mike? I forget his name. Scott, yes, thank you. Scott was on this trip, and he was listening to his GPS, and his GPS says, turn here, and he said, nope, that's not where you turn. And his GPS says, go straight, but he knew his GPS was wrong, so he turned right, and he drives down this boat ramp right into the lake, into the water, because he knew the best way to go. Now, no doubt those Magi knew the best way. They were wise men, supposedly, we guess. We don't know. That's what we call them. And they knew the best way. Obviously, they knew the best way to get there because they followed the star, and it showed them probably the shortest and fastest route to get to where they needed to go. So why not go that way home? But no, a dream came and said, you have to go another route home. Wait a minute. We don't know this other route home. It might take longer. It might use more of our resources. We might run out of stuff. And I'd rather turn right than go left. But they heeded God's word. They heeded the warning in God's dream, and some remarkable things happened. The life of Jesus was saved. The life of Jesus was saved because King Herod, they went to visit him first, remember? And King Herod said, oh, come and tell me where you find him. Why did King Herod want to know where Jesus was found? So that he could go and kill him. He could kill him, right? And we know from the holy innocents and the holy martyrs that children throughout Bethlehem were killed around the age of Jesus. Boys were killed around the age of Jesus because Herod was trying to destroy Jesus so that he could be king and ruler over the Jews. But Jesus' life was saved. We know that a newfound faith of these men, the newfound faith that they had, caused them to cling to God in trust. If an angel came to you one day and said, do something, let me say it this way. If an angel came to me one day and do something, I might question my sanity, which is very questionable anyways. The reality is, I might question my sanity. What in the world is going on here, right? And we see that happen all the time in Scripture. Angels going, they went to Mary and announced the birth. They go to Joseph and say, hey, she's pregnant. You're going to keep her. And this happens all the time in Scripture. But I don't know about you, but if an angel came to me and said something, I might start questioning that a little bit and probably go check myself into a hospital. Well, not these guys. They trusted Jesus. They trusted God. After all, he had appeared in the sky, this wonderful star, and they knew what the star meant, and they had come, and they had worshipped this newborn king, and they knew what he was. They knew who he was. And so they trusted God. And so through their trust, something even greater happened. Through their trust, the gospel, the salvation of Jesus, was carried to a whole new world. The Gentiles would be saved. The proclamation of the gospel wasn't just for the Jews any longer, God's chosen. It was for all God's new chosen people, for you and for me, to the ends of the earth. Now, historically, if we look at the wise men, and we can debate on this, and this is a whole sermon for a different time, we wonder where they come from. My leaning is that they came probably from Ethiopia, because when we look at Ethiopia, there were synagogues there that predated some of the synagogues in Jerusalem. We know that the earliest Christianity, the earliest congregations were formed around Ethiopia. So there's a very good chance these wise men came from this region of Ethiopia. And as they carried forth the good news of Jesus with them, this gospel message, they cause it to spread, and they cause it to spread eastward to people who were not Jewish, who were not circumcised, who were not chosen by God, but who had been chosen by God by a new means through the circumcision of the flesh in Jesus Christ, through the salvation in which Jesus would bring into the world as light and Savior. As Isaiah said, Jesus called the people to arise and to shine. The light of Christ was upon them. Their darkness was illumined. The new way shined before them. Salvation had come for all people. All God's creation, and their willingness to be part of God's plan, to live in new obedience to him, to try something new, to try a new route in life, the whole world changed. Would you agree with that? The whole world changed because these wise men heeded the word of God and got out of their rut and tried to live a new route. The whole world changed. So what about you this new year, this new day? What is it in your life that God is placing on your heart? Is there a new route that God is preparing for you in your life? Is God calling you to get out of a rut and to try something new? Let's think about that for a little bit. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut. I have people come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I'm praying for this, and I've been praying for this for such a long time, and I keep praying and I don't get an answer. And this is what I say to people. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Has he clearly said no? No, he hasn't clearly said no. Then step out in faith and do it, because God blesses faith. God wants us in our lives to step out in faith and in courage and in hope to try a new route. Sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck in this rut in our lives of waiting for God to open the door, waiting for him to open the window, waiting for him to send an angel down and say, ta-da, this is the way you're to go. But sometimes that's not the way it's going to happen. That's why God gives us faith. He gives us faith to step out in him, to give him glory, and to try new things, to get out of the rut of spirituality that sometimes we get stuck in, that we have to wait on God instead of doing so, that we step forward in God and saying, God, I trust you. I know you have in mind what is best for me. And that can happen in many ways in our lives. Sometimes it's depression and anxiety and worry. We get stuck in that rut. I do all the time. And depression and anxiety and worry, it's a rut. And the more we get in depression, anxiety, and worry, the deeper that rut gets. So what do? We use prayer. We use the word of God. We use our brothers and sisters in church. We use our pastor. We use our friends. We use a doctor. We use medicine. Whatever it is, we step out in faith and go and seek out those things which will help us to leave behind worry and anxiety anxiety and fear, to get out of that rut of life and to try something new. You see how that works? But it's easy to get stuck in that rut because it's comfortable. It's comfortable to be in the rut. It's comfortable to worry and to be filled with anxiety and to be filled with fear because that's what we're used to. Maybe we don't feel close enough to Jesus, or we're not experiencing peace and joy. I hear this one a lot too. Pastor, I don't feel I have a very close relationship with Jesus. Or Pastor, I'm not finding peace and joy in my life. Well, the answer to that, brothers and sisters, is simple. Look at your rut you're in. Are you reading God's word? Are you spending time with him on a daily basis? Are you digging into what God has to say through you, to you through the gospel, the same gospel that he gave to share to the ends of the world with those wise men? Are you digging into that? Are you spending time with him in prayer? Are you asking God to reveal his heart to you? That's key in our life as Christians. Ask God to reveal his heart to you, and he will. He wants us to know the depths and secrets of our hearts. We'll never know them unless we explore them. We'll never know them unless we get out of the ruts of life and dig into God's heart, and dig into his heart, and dig into his mind. This is the reality. And as we dig into his heart and his mind, guess what we find out? Number one, that God loves us more than anything else in all creation. And number two, that he wants us to share his love with his whole creation. Sometimes relationships around us are stale and falling apart. I hear this all the time. Pastor, my marriage just doesn't seem to be going very well. Things just aren't, it's kind of stale and fragile, or my relationship with my parents is this, and all of these things go on, and we begin to wonder what's going on. Get out of a rut. Call a marriage counselor. Get out of a rut. Go visit your parents. Get out of a rut, try a date night. Get out of the rut, spice things up in your marriage and in your life. You see, this is the reality of stepping out in faith and living in Jesus, living in the overwhelming grace and love and forgiveness that he gives us. We don't have to stay stuck. We don't have to stay stuck without joy and peace. We don't have to stay stuck where things don't seem right. We don't have to. We stay there by our own doing. Satan doesn't keep us there. We're very good at it on our own. Because God calls us to step out on his gospel in faith and to try a new route in life, to try going a different direction, to try new and bold things. If we mess up, we chalk it up to learning and say, God, forgive me, and we head the other way, because that's the kind of God we have, who forgives us abundantly. And you know what? He's proud when we step out in faith, even if it is a mess up, because we've done it in him. I tell people all the time, whether it's in our congregation or in our life, if we take two steps ahead in a new direction, on a new route, and have to take one step back, you're still always one step ahead in Jesus. Where is better to be? Nowhere, but to be one step ahead in Jesus. Maybe in our lives and in our congregation, the Great Commission just doesn't seem to be playing out around us. Are people being reached with the love of Jesus? Is our congregation and our friends and neighbors who don't know Jesus being reached with the gospel? Are we truly living out the actual call that God placed on our life, the real meaning we're here, the real reason we exist, to tell other people about Jesus so that they will be loved and go to heaven? Maybe it's time to get out of the rut. Those excuses of, well, I don't know what to say. Well, I'm embarrassed. I can't do that. Well, those are just excuses. Maybe God is calling you to take a new route in life, to try something new, to get out of the rut, and to follow his leading by the power of the Holy Spirit. The reality is, my brothers and sisters in Jesus, I have good news for you. There is another route. Every day there is another route, because in Jesus, God's mercy is new every day. In Jesus, God's forgiveness is new every day. In Jesus, every time we partake of the Lord's Supper and hear the wonderful word of his gospel, our lives are forgiven, wiped clean, and set free. We are put onto a new path of salvation, a new path of living, a new and wonderful love that overwhelms our lives. No matter how bad our mistakes are, no matter how mad we may be stuck, no matter how distant we think we are from Jesus, no matter our past, no matter our shame, no matter our guilt, every day God comes into our lives, every moment of every second, by the power of his cross and the glory of his resurrection, to renew and restore us and to set our lives on a new path of glory and grace and salvation and forgiveness and life. Because this is the Jesus we have. This is the Jesus who on an epiphany shined the light of his salvation to the entire world so that we may live and as declared, forgiven, children of Jesus now and forever. Every day you have a new route in life. Every time you sin, God in repentance comes and he opens up to you through the forgiving grace of his blood and his life and his gospel, a new route to you. Brothers and sisters, the wise men showed us something very powerful on that first epiphany. You don't always have to go the same way and do the same thing. Sometimes it means being creative. Sometimes it means trying something new and scary. Sometimes it means stepping out and not knowing where the corner is or what's around the corner, but knowing that God is already there and Christ's forgiveness is waiting for you. You see, that's what it means to live the Christian life. To be willing to go the new route. To be willing to go around the corner ahead. To be willing to turn left when our urge says turn right. To be willing to reach our loved one, our coworker, our neighbor, our fellow student with the love of Jesus because we know they don't know him. To be willing to reach a community around us that looks a lot different than we do. It looks a lot different than when this church was started in 1996 here on this corner. In all these areas, God is calling us to rejoice in his forgiveness, to celebrate his eternal life, and to try a new route, a blessed route, a route that is already finished for us. Because Jesus died and because Jesus rose, we will live forever. In his name, amen.